The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who were in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. And I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome back. Now, once again, Jesus says, all judgment has been given over to the Son, and those who have done good deeds will rise to the resurrection of life, and those who have done wicked deeds will rise to the resurrection of condemnation. I hope you already know how short life is, how great eternity is, and how in the end, the only thing that matters is that you're in right relationship with God. I hope you already know that. But today, I'm going to give you just a little tiny thought to help you to get ready for life's final exam, also known as the Last Judgment. There are certain select moments in our lives in which everything changes in an instant. Everything changes in a heartbeat. Maybe it's the death of a loved one or a family member. Maybe it's a diagnosis of a terminal illness. Maybe for you. Maybe for someone who you love or who you're dependent upon. And suddenly everything has changed. Your entire world has been turned upside down. You know that it'll never be the same. Tomorrow will not be like yesterday ever again, because your very worst fears have been realized. When this happens, the first thing that we do is we try to pretend like it didn't really happen. We try to tell ourselves that it's a dream, that we'll wake up from it, that this isn't really happening, and that's okay. You know, if you go through that. These enormous events in life, they're so monumental, we can't process them all at once. We can't face that reality all at once. But eventually, we all have to come around to facing reality as it is, and when we do, to answering the inevitable question that arises, why has God allowed this to happen? Now, if you've ever come to that moment and you've asked that question, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't feel bad. It's okay. It's perfectly natural. It's not a crisis of faith. You know what it is? It's a crisis of understanding. You know, so very often you'll get these people and they'll come to these moments in their life, and someone will, in a false moment of piety, they'll say to them, "You got to believe in God's will and God, all this," as if to say, just swallow this enormous pill immediately. Don't beat yourself up over it. It's not a crisis of faith. It's only a crisis of understanding. And that's what Isaiah was talking about in the first reading. He was trying to help the Israelites with a crisis of understanding because he was talking to them while they were in exile in Babylon. And just in case you don't remember what that is, I'll jog your memory. Okay? The year was 587 BC, and the Israelite people were conquered by their worst enemies, the Babylonians. And they were taken off in captivity, and they stayed in captivity for 50 years. Now, during this time, it was the greatest crisis in their history because their entire identity was upended. The Israelite people thought of themselves, and rightly so, as God's chosen people who had been taken out of captivity in Egypt, given a land all their own in the promised land, and given a temple, which was God's dwelling place on earth, to be a light to all the nations. And then all of a sudden, all that was upended. And they'd lost their promised land, and they were captives once again, and their temple had been burned to the ground, all of its precious gold and silver sacred items melted down into jewelry or used as goblets for wine at a dinner party. And it seemed to them that it was the end of the whole world. You know, it seemed to them that the covenant had been broken, or maybe even that God didn't exist at all. But one thing's for certain, everything seemed to come to an end. And Isaiah tells them that it's not the end. Not even close to the end. But that God is showing to them a special love and providence, even now, even at this moment, like a loving father who tenderly loves his dearest child. God loves Israel. And that God is weaning his people away from things they should have left behind years ago, like trust in kings and in princes, trust in bank accounts and trust in gold, trust in alliances, all the things that they've been counting on that kept them from trusting in God alone. But God hadn't abandoned them. If a mother should forget her child, I will never forget you, says the Lord. And you got to say that to yourself too when you go through these moments. God has not abandoned you, but rather God has, yes, taken out of your life certain things, even certain good things. But why? So that you too might learn what it means to trust in God alone. You know, you go through the Old Testament and you'll discover that God wants us always to use the ordinary means of things to do his ordinary will. But that when those things are taken away, then he starts to provide for us in a special fashion. For example, Abraham, he tends his flocks, he tends his gardens, he grows his food. And God provides for Abraham by ordinary means. But when ordinary means are taken away, God still provides. He provides miraculously, like Elijah in the desert, who is fed by ravens, or the Israelites in the desert, who are fed by the manna, which, by the way, only showed up when they ran out of flour. And that God still cares for us, and he teaches us the same very important lesson, to learn to trust in him, yes, in him alone. My favorite meditation on this is Holy Saturday. I invite you to think about it with me. What would you have done on Holy Saturday? When Jesus was dead, and you're his disciple, and everyone tells you that everything you believed was a lie, that all your hope was in vain, you were absolutely wrong. Why? Because he's dead and he's sealed in a tomb. How well do you think you would have done on Holy Saturday? If you're ever curious, you can answer that question for yourself. Just ask yourself how well you do when life does not make sense. I once knew a bishop, and he told me that every morning he would wake up, and after he said his morning prayers, he would have the same routine. He would go to the mirror, and he would point to the mirror, and he would remind himself, God is God, you are not. God is God, you are not. And I believe that if we remember that every day, we will have nothing to fear at the hour of death. Amen.